Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show on the Fan. No better way to get ready for the weekend than hearing the sweet voice of Leap 36. At Leap, you're going to be doing a football camp here coming up.
Yeah, we're doing a camp at Brown Deer High School, middle and high school.
So right there on the high school field?
Yep, August the 20th from 9 till noon.
You're not going to ask me how many fumbles I recovered on that field?
No, but don't wear that mask, though.
Three.
Yeah, don't worry. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Fell on three of them there.
We have early registration. Matter of fact, it's been going on for a while. They got a few spots available. We're only going to take so many kids, but you can still sign up. Again, people won't be on the north side. Well, here I come. It's $20 registration fee. After that, it's free. Just $20. And we're going to basically do it. My brother-in-law's church, New Life Worship Center.
Okay.
Tom Davis, he's the pastor over there. Me and him got together and want to do something for the community. And we brought the high school involved in it because a lot of these high schools are starting to do a lot of practices now anyway. So this is going to be in the morning from 9 to noon. So I got quite a few kids going to come out, and I got a couple other guys going to help me out. But mostly I wanted regular coaches to come out because they do all the work. We may get all the headlines,
sure.
But coaches do all the work. They're the ones to show the guys all the fundamentals and things like that. So you can go to www.n as in Nancy, L as in Leroy, online.org to sign up. That's www.n as in Nancy, L as in Leroy, online.org to sign up. And I think for the most part, we're not going to just take thousands of kids. No.
Mm-hmm.
But the first, a couple hundred sign up, we're going to service it. So you get like a shirt, you get a lunch and all that kind of
sweet
stuff. So I think it's a lot of fun. I went to a camp. It was out of state. It was $1,700 per kid.
Mm-hmm.
$1,700? So I said, is this like a week-long kid? Oh, no, it's only one day.
One day.
I was floored by the price.
There's only a few of them nowadays where you actually get to, like, some of the old camps that colleges would do,
mm-hmm.
You'd stay in the camp, you'd stay in the dorms for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Not much anymore.
At a university, I remember at Florida State, they do camps.
Mm-hmm.
The kid could stay there for a week. And hang out and get a chance to go to spring practice and see the university. And I don't think it was that expensive. But I think for the most part, we're trying to get sponsors to take over for some of the other costs. Because we got to buy shirts and stuff like that. So actually, if you want to be a sponsor, you can go to that website as well and let them know you want to be a sponsor. But on Sunday, I'll be at the Metro Market in Brookfield from 11 to 1. That's 12735 West Capitol Drive. That's in Brookfield. I've been there before. I love that store. It's amazing.
That's all the people with great credit out there.
Almost like a restaurant type thing. I mean, it's amazing, man. Come by and see me there. And then at 2 o'clock from 2 to 4, I'll be at the Pick and Save at Blue Mound East, 8151 West Blue Mound Road. Then after that, I'm going to the fair with the kids. Yeah. I'm going to leave there. And go to the fair with like 200 kids.
How do you do this? Like, how do you not get tired?
I get tired, but I just don't let nobody know it.
Man. A warrior.
I try to touch everybody because
people
have a lot of questions.
Absolute warrior. That is Leap 36, Leroy Butler. Go find him and check that out. That's a sweet football camp that he's putting on. News of the day for the Milwaukee Brewers. No Christian Yelich for a third consecutive day in the lineup.
I'm okay with that. You got Keston Hira. Okay, I'm all right with that.
Getting better with it. Keston Hira will hit second. Kane Yelich
Moustakas.
No, Kane Hira Moustakas. Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm so used to just saying Christian Yelich in the lineup. With the bad back, he's out. Braun will clean up out in left. He has Manny Grandal at first base. Manny Pena catching. Trent Grisham out in right.
Hernan
Perez is back with the big league club. Called up today. His contract selected by the team. He'll start at shortstop in front of Gio Gonzalez, the casualty from the 25-man roster. Travis Shaw out with the Milwaukee Brewers today. He is optioned back down to AAA San Antonio, and Travis Shaw reportedly not too happy about that decision. We'll hear from Craig Counsell coming up just after 6 o'clock. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Also an injury update for the crew from Adam McAlvey. Yoelis Chacin will not be pitching for the Brewers anytime soon. He said he is playing catch at 90 feet, but the lat still isn't 100%. Until it is, he cannot get into the process of getting back on a major league mound. So that is an update on Yoelis Chacin. No sooner rather than later for Yoelis Chacin back in the lineup. Still working on that lat strain. Still waiting for an update possibly on Brandon Woodruff. We'll have later on tonight how that oblique is working on the left side of Brandon
All
Woodruff.
All these guys
going
to come back at the right time to make a run.
They're keeping themselves right in it for it. They're allowing themselves the opportunity.
That's all you need.
This Antonio Brown story also keeps just getting better and better. Antonio Brown telling the Oakland Raiders that he will not play football again. He is going to retire unless he can use the helmet that he's used for his entire career. He apparently had a meeting for 2 hours with the league today. He insisted that he have it, and the league said, yeah, probably not. Quote from a player, it is the most insane thing I have ever heard. Leroy, what would you be doing if one of your players, one of your teammates was saying that he wasn't going to play because they weren't going to let him wear his helmet?
I'm going to do what Coach Bowden always told me. You can do what you want, but there's consequences. It is. Because some guys, man, they live by it. They're superstitious, too. They want the right helmet. And I would be okay with it. Just sign a waiver. We're not responsible. If something happens, you and that helmet, are you okay with it? Because you're going outside our rules. I wouldn't be restricting guys to make guys do anything. Okay, you don't want to do it? Fine. This is your safety. It's his body.
But you are going to legally back yourself up in that situation. You're in the NFL. You better at that point.
No question. Yeah. Let him sign a waiver. He's released. If other guys want to wear that helmet, that's fine. Sign a release. So in 10, 15 years, don't come back and say you got concussion protocol because you signed a release. So you're on your own. And let him play. That's what I would do. That's what when the lawyers get involved, they make all the money. I just save them millions of dollars.
So
you'll
so
end up.
Happy.
That's how it'll end because he can't retire. The NFL needs him, especially
they'll Oakland's, find their way to get him.
The
back.
The Raiders are going to Las Vegas. Okay, they need Antonio Brown.
That stadium looks nice too already.
Yeah, but it won't look nice if they 84 running up and down in it.
No, it'll also look good if once they start doing the thing that they should do. Just put the Super Bowl there every year. Yeah. Just put it there every year. Just locate it over there.
Super Bowl in Green Bay, cuz. Stop it.
Come on. You stop that. You stop that.
Why not? What are you drinking? You need to stop.
Why? A lot of Green and Gold Kool-Aid.
Why they can't have it here? People's never been in cold weather before?
People's.
Come on, man. Best day.
That's your friend.
People.
Take
that's,
a tour.
That's your friend. Your favorite stadium in pro football saw a win last night for their team, 28-26. Leroy.
Big win.
DeShone Kizer needed to look better. He did in his first appearance.
He did.
Proud of him. Only five passes, three completions for Tim Boyle, your boy, but two of those go for touchdowns. And it made you feel a little bit better about the backup quarterback position after last night, right?
It really does. I mean, it gives you a chance because it's a new offense. Both of these guys had to learn. They understand the pressure of what's going on. So I did not want Aaron Rodgers to play. Aaron doesn't need to work. These guys need to work. I mean, DeShone Kizer needed to work, especially when he put out these quotes saying he's back, you know, he's an MVP type quarterback. And hey, all that sounds great, but you got to go out there and perform. And I think he did that. He showed he has good feet. He showed he has nice touch. I just want to see a little bit more zip on the ball. Now you get to number eight, the real backup quarterback, Boyle. I want to see a little bit more touch. He has the rifle. He has the progression, everything. Again, these guys are on the job learning. And that's going to be kind of a curve there because you want to be able to run the football, which 22 did. And I think you also got to be able to utilize the tight ends, which they did. But overall, I saw good protection. 70, I like 70. I was a little disturbed by Lane Taylor playing, but I'm okay with that. You know, the guy's your left guard of the future. And I saw pretty good protection. So I didn't want these guys just running around, no protection. Every time they get the ball, they're getting sacked. You didn't want to see a lot of that. So with that being said, I think these guys earn the right. Now, you know, the more it gets Aaron playing, they'll get less snaps.
Sure.
Because they want to try to get Wilkins in there, the other kid. He needs to stop running so much and be a quarterback. This ain't college no more.
He needs to trust himself back there.
But he did do an amazing move on a dead game. Somebody had a dead leg. You saw that when he was scrambling?
Yes.
Frozen.
Yes, long.
I might need to play him.
Well, you want to talk about somebody that gave a quarterback that gave
a dead leg.
Guy a dead leg, Easton Stick from the L.A. Chargers, who was playing at North Dakota State with your boy Darius Shepherd. He shook one dude for a 31-yard touchdown last night.
Joe Webb did it a couple times yesterday.
Well, you know that, though. Joe Webb's a veteran. You knew
I'd rather have Joe Webb. I'd rather have him throwing than running, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you this. What's your question here, Billy?
About a quarterback.
Do you feel better about the backup quarterback position after last night?
Listen, let me just tell you this, Bill.
He called you Bill.
Bill.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, he sat up. He's third person. He's ready now.
William. Let me. Billy. Willie.
Pretty sure somebody in this building thinks my name is Willie.
Yeah.
No. Legitimately thinks my name is Willie. Well, let me just. Legitimately thinks it.
Listen, I feel better today than I did before I went into that game about the backup quarterback position.
Agreed.
How about that? Mm-hmm. I mean, because really, I still think the best option is a veteran backup for the Green Bay Packers behind Rodgers. But I really do feel better today. Now, listen, I'm going to keep it straight 100. I thought Boyle, he looks like he has the better potential. Now, I know Leroy hates the potential word. He don't like the forecast.
Upside.
I know he don't like that. But I'm gonna have to judge it on. I'm gonna have to judge this question once again on potential. Now he ain't throwing any passes in real games, all that kind of stuff like that. But
not a one.
I'm gonna have to use this. I know Leroy hate that. But by what I saw yesterday, I feel better about it, and I feel better about Kaiser from what I have seen. Previously, I thought he played better.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that.
Was it 12 plays, 75 yards?
Yeah, and everyone wanted to say Sean Kaiser sucked. He didn't suck last night.
No.
He looked good.
No. Boyle can, and Leroy's right. Boyle's probably got, feels like talent. I mean, that he can just
he
flick
can
it.
Zip
Boom.
The ball. Yeah.
Boom. I mean, it's gone. He may have the better talent. So we'll just have to see how it shakes out. Kaiser most certainly has the experience because he was a quarterback for a whole year.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you guys see Huntley last night?
No, I didn't catch him.
Pull up them numbers, cuz. Oh. I think he played for the Cardinals.
Yeah, we don't need to see that movie.
I'm just saying.
Oh, how did y'all ran Huntley I didn't see out of a town. Guy. How did Kyler Murray? Did he play?
Hey, he had a completion. It was fun.
Yeah.
What'd that mean?
Like, yeah,
threw the ball and somebody caught it.
Just one completion?
Yeah, but
they were sending reports out, videos of it all over the place.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray completed a pass.
Why
he was
that
6-7. It was big time news.
It was all right.
Brett Hundley yesterday, 10 of 14 for 104 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Was sacked one time.
Well, he started an NFL game. He got some experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not much. Yeah. Not much for me to throw
the
in.
Bears
him.
At the
I can't,
Bears.
I can't put him in the Matt Flynn category yet. Can I,
Leroy? No, Matt Flynn took you to where you almost should have been.
I mean, I can't put him in the
Matt Flynn for 400 yards.
But... And I'm not saying he's going to be Matt Flynn, but I feel better about that backup situation than I did
I agree
before I went into
the game. Because I was hearing some stuff when I was driving back from Green Bay this morning that I got to talk to you guys about next because there was some very, very passionate optimism.
Face he's making.
Crazy optimism that I was hearing earlier today. So I want to hear what you guys got to say about that after this. But first... The time has now come. It's time once again, everybody, for the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant Bakery's fan charity golf outing. It benefits Give Kids the World, and it comes up September 25th at beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club out in Pewaukee. Our first time out at Western Lakes. It's a beautiful track. I know Bart Winkler was just out there earlier today. Told me the place just looks gorgeous. I was told that it might be a little bit easier for me because I got a little bit of that hook that I've been working on. I've been trying to get that out of my game. I'm hooking everything, man.
You're
strong
left?
Of a grip.
I'm bringing everything left.
Oh, yeah, you're going through it.
Because you know me. I'm just trying to line that thing up and just crank on it a little bit. We played a track down in Arizona.
Put it back in your stance
short for me. Put it back in my stance a little bit. Okay, that'll work out for me.
This boy can hit it now.
Who?
Billy.
Hit the button.
You're not buying that?
Huh? Yeah, he can hit it.
Have we ever done that before?
Yeah.
Pre-hit
the home button.
Yeah. Huh?
Leroy, he can hit it.
All right. I need some video.
We played together out in Phoenix. We probably should. We played together out in Phoenix.
This guy's
first hole. Right.
Toes.
Winning first hole. I don't think he really hit it that far.
But it don't matter. But how'd he look?
We look like a big boy hitting it.
Nice
swing.
I mean,
he look like, huh?
No, I wind up
that's
a little
a real
bit.
One.
Oh, he's got a baseball
a
swing.
Huh? Right or left-handed?
Right-handed.
He's got a baseball swing, but Leroy, we looking for his ball, right? And I don't think, yeah. I didn't think, it's the first hole, I, you know.
Yeah.
I'm over to the left somewhere. So we're looking real short, you know, like, because I never played with him before.
Yeah, you're trying to gauge him out.
This boy done hit it about like 325 or so.
What was it at?
Edge of the green.
What?
It was a decent poke, yeah.
On the right hand, it was on the right
that's
hand side. I'm looking way short
because
I can't believe he really hit it that far. Did you? Yeah, he hit it that far.
That's Beaufort and Bill.
Right?
Damn right.
All the Beaufort and got in there, two
yeah,
cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. That was all that.
Real tight.
All natural.
He slapped them cheeks on. What up?
He's on his toes, too.
Woo! You know he's on his toes, big old calf. Yeah. He's got all tight on him. Now, Leroy. Don't ask him to hit a wedge.
No. That's why this is a scramble.
Don't have you hit a wedge.
It'll go left, it'll go right, all over the place. That's what's good about
No wedge, no nine. Don't ask him to hit that.
Fans Charity Golf Outing is a scramble. So even if I'm your celebrity,
right.
You can use my drive and then everybody else can do the
but
dirty work from there.
Guys listening are better golfers than us. They're coming. They should be better golfers.
Yes, please be a good golfer if you're playing with me, because
like,
I'm trying
I'm
to win this thing.
Celebrity,
this year.
Allegedly, you should be a better golfer if you're playing with me.
It's just $125, guys. $125 gets you a great day
that's
at golf.
Cheap.
It gets you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it all goes to Give Kids the World. And it's
just
a tremendous organization. Actually, a coach of mine from college is going to come in. His child was selected to go to Give Kids the World. Going to give us a first-hand experience of how that went. Before we get there for September 25th. So sign up right now today at 1057FMTheFan.com. You get breakfast from Perkins, lunch from Robert's Specialty Meats, and dinner from Saz's for $125. And you get to play golf with the guys from the Big Show the rest of the guys here on The Fan. September 25th, benefiting Give Kids the World. 414-799-1250. Packers fans, you feeling better about the backup quarterback position after last night? There were a lot of people drinking some green and gold Kool-Aid that I was hearing. Got to see what Leroy Butler thinks, if maybe it was just a little bit tart for some of those people up north. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
More than anything else was the command. That's what we were looking for. I thought they commanded the huddle. I thought it seemed to me just that the communication was on point. Like I said, we didn't have any delay of games. I thought we got up to the line just like I've been talking about with urgency. And I just thought the operation was clean. And they did a nice job executing when the plays were there.
That's Matt LaFleur and his backup quarterbacks from last night. Well, starters last night. Packers needed them. 414-799-1250. Do you feel better about your backup quarterback position, Packers fans, after last night? 414-799-1250. DeShone Kizer, as I said, just he didn't suck, which I think a lot of people like expect him to be bad, Leroy. Right?
Well, it depends on where you set the bar at. Because a lot of people in their mind, they close their mind, they see a movie, and it starts with Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
When he was out there when Aaron got hurt, and that was Khalil Mack's coming out part.
Just literally ripped the ball away from him and made him sit down and laugh at him.
It just so he had to get to understanding that you got a new coach, you got a clean canvas now. You can paint your own portrait. And last night was the first swipe at that canvas. And a lot of people just didn't think he had the talent to do it. I mean, you see all the good things they write about him, you know, when he was at, you know, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Him and St. Brown hooked up. But just the pros, man. You can always have a guy behind you just as good.
Right.
So for him to get the start, to me, was big.
Well, and
for him.
How tough is it for a guy like DeShone Kizer? 5 years, five different systems.
See, and that's the thing that Jay Cutler went through for a while.
Alex Smith, too. Yep.
Yeah. Some of these guys, you just, I can never get with the same system throughout my career. But they only going to feel sorry for you unless you're a starter in those systems. If you're a backup in those systems, cry me a river.
So okay? that's a lot like Tula Roy. We talk about how can you be successful in the NFL and how guys are just falling to a good situation. Mm-hmm. Well, DeShone Kizer really hadn't fought. I mean, he's been in a bad situation. He probably can be a little bit better than what he really is, but his NFL career has just really taken a bad turn. I mean, there's just no way you can get a lot of confidence within yourself with that many offensive systems, what he has learned. Yeah, you can say all you want that it's football and right. It's similar.
Same game you play.
But it's different.
It is.
It's different.
Sophomore it's year different. In college, new offense. Junior year in college, a new offense.
Man,
first year in the pros, he's with the Browns, go 0-16, but he starts every single game, and everyone wants to say, well, hey, you had all that experience, you had all that starting experience, then give me a new offense with Mike McCarthy, then have my coach get fired in the middle of the year, bounce through to another one. Finally, to be able to settle down, but also with a little bit of familiarity last night with Matt LaFleur, he's seen this offense and run this a little bit like he did back in college.
Right.
So,
Right. I mean, you will hope that. I mean, that's what you're looking at. I mean, but still, I mean, if you look at LaFleur, they do have history, right?
Yes.
They've got history.
Back when he was at Notre Dame, yep.
Right. I mean, you know what? If you look at this Packer roster, they've got some Notre Dame guys kind of
sprinkled through. Dexter Williams, too.
I mean, they know, but still, it's still tough when you're trying to just, you're behind it all the time and trying to figure it out. I mean, I think a lot of guys get very blessed. I mean, even though Leroy, I mean, he'd be blessed to play in one spot for like 13, 14 years. I mean, that's almost unheard
Absolutely.
Of in the
right.
NFL.
And you're right.
You get in a good situation. I mean, you come in, you get probably the best coaches you can ever get, and then guys believe in you. And then from there, you got to take it and run and be the best person you can be or be the best football player you can be.
So, guys, I was driving back from Green Bay earlier today and just was listening to some local shows. I was driving through, and it was a Tim Boyle love fest this morning up there.
Okay.
People were saying, I was hearing, because one guy was trying to die on the hill of saying, hey, man, look at Brian Hoyer. Look what the Patriots do with Brian Hoyer, a veteran guy. He knows how to run a system. He's been around the block. He's played in a playoff game before. He's backing up Tom Brady. People were calling in telling this dude that Tim Boyle was better than Brian Hoyer right now. Saying that he's better than a guy that's played in the league for 8 years. Did you see any of that potential, Leroy? Like, where I get a backup quarterback.
He liked to forecast out. You know he does.
And I know he loves himself some number nine or number eight. So that's why I'm asking you about Timmy Boyle. Do you see the potential for him to... Sure, he's a backup quarterback at this stage and probably for the rest of his career. But could you see him being like a long-term sub? A long-term sub, one of those teachers that comes in after, you know, maybe you go on paternity leave or something like that.
You're
gone for maybe 2 or 3 months or something like that, and you get the sub in there that you actually learn something from. Instead, you just spitballs at her instead.
No, first of all, no one should be spitballs at teachers. They don't do
it. It's really something that you should not do.
They shouldn't do it for the money. They do it.
It is really funny, though.
So at least
especially when it gets stuck, like right in the hair and stuff like that, and everybody's laughing. Go ahead, Leroy. Sorry.
It's incomplete. You don't know yet. He's just going to have to get the opportunity. Now, if Aaron Rodgers at 35 years old, if for some reason he goes down, you got to be ready to go. But you can't make it.
If Rodgers goes down right now, who you have more confidence in?
After last night?
Yeah.
I would start with Kizer. I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would, because he got more experience. I mean, the guy's been in the NFL.
He's been a starter.
Quarterback.
Did he do 16 games in Cleveland?
Yes.
All 16, yes. Yep.
But with 0-16, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the team was terrible. I mean,
they were brutal.
Yeah, they were brutal.
But for Boyle, you got to beat Kizer out first. Before I say,
sure.
Beat Kizer out, boy, let's get it going.
Did he close that gap yesterday, or did Kizer open it?
There's still daylight. There's still daylight between them.
But
you know why? Because DeShone Kizer got the nod to start.
Sure, yep.
Had he put it down to game time decision.
Well, you'll know next week.
How open you think the window is? For him, Gary, for Tim Boyle to beat DeShone Kizer for this backup quarterback battle.
It was pretty open, I think.
Okay, so you're saying like he doesn't have to leap and bounds outperform him to get that job?
No, I don't think so. Kizer just can't screw up. I mean, if it feels like Boyle doesn't really throw any interceptions, Kizer, like, he just, I mean, just look at his track record. But I think it's closer than most people would think. But Kaiser's going to get the benefit of the doubt because that is LaFleur's guy.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know that.
Sure.
But that Kizer is LaFleur's guy. So he should get the benefit of the doubt, and he's a starting quarterback. He has been a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And you'd also want to expect that he's somewhat of Brian Gutekunst's guy, right? Because he's the one that traded for him and traded Demaryius Randle, who
they're
became
give
a Pro
him
Bowl.
Every opportunity
right. Well, I don't know about all that, Billy.
Okay.
Because Demaryius Randle, they were ready for him to be gone.
He was ready to be gone. He's in a great spot, though. Both teams came out of
mm-hmm.
that. Whether Deshaun Kizer work out or not, Randle is going to be a great player, optimistic, loves to go after the football. I liked him as a player, but he's playing safety where he should play, and he's in a good fit. Kizer, we're never going to really know until 4 years from now what he can really be if Aaron Rodgers stays around for 4 years and then he retires or something. But I don't know if you're going to keep him there, because if one of these guys develop into a good quarterback, do you trade them? Because teams see the same film we're looking at. Somebody may call up and say, hey, man, I would love to boil it and give you a 7-round pick for him. Okay, great. You know, at the end of camp, Deshaun Kizer won the backup job. You trade Boyle for a 7th-round pick, and then you just get another veteran to be your third-string guy, and you put somebody, Wilkins, on practice squad, see if he develops, and you just keep moving these quarterbacks around like they've always done under Brett Favre.
Because they went with 3 quarterbacks last year. I can't see them taking 3 quarterbacks, especially because it appears they're going to keep close to 6 to 7 wide receivers, 4 tight ends.
Yeah.
You got to keep a lot of offensive linemen. You have to. And if Montrevious Adams, if he's going to be a good down lineman guy, and you think Lancaster's going to be okay, then you may have to keep less linemen, because you could put Rashad Gary down there, you could put the Smith brothers down there. There's a lot of things you could do with those numbers, but if you're keeping 3 quarterbacks, that's unprecedented, especially if you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Why would you want to keep 3?
But Andrew really had the fullback again this year to the opening day roster.
And see, then why do you got to keep 5 tight ends? Though? See, that's the thing. You got a lot of tight ends. You got a lot of trade bait, but there's a lot of people they want to keep, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why these games are important. And you're going to play a team next week, the Ravens, that's big, overly physical.
And always mean.
Overly physical and got a lot of ability. So that's a good test for Aaron. That defense is a good test.
I'm also excited to see how they try to stop the run against that team, because Mark Ingram in there, they're gonna run the football every single week as well as just about any team in football is going to.
And you got another quarterback like Joe Webb. That's why I said you're playing Lamar Jackson. He's just like Joe Webb. He's running all around the place. So that was some good work.
That was some good work for
them. Some good work for these defensive ends, outside linebackers, some good work.
Go look at it on film today.
Because you're going to see a lot of riding the side. You're going to see a lot
of
fooling
a couple times on that riding the side.
They're going to get you. So just some good work. For Pettit, it's probably, thank you. I need this kind of work. When you go down to Chicago, you got to be ready for anything. They run right in the side.
They run
the pitch play. Yeah,
they run
stretch.
Well,
they run
the misdirection. They're trying to get Cohen in space.
Yes.
All day, every day.
And they got a couple other
kids.
Did you see
Montgomery last night?
Names.
He looked really good. Rookie out of Iowa State, running back. He looked really, really strong. That's for sure.
Look at here.
We're going to hear from Ryan Wood coming up in about 15 minutes.
Ryan
Mike
Wood,
Clemens has
favorites.
A green and gold update. Before that, we're back with guys, I think Matt LaFleur might have called Packer fans out. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Show back on the Fan. Ryan Wood joins us in 8 minutes from right now. Tell us what he saw last night. Did he think Tim Boyle closed the gap, or maybe Deshaun Kizer opened up a little bit of a lead over the other backup quarterback? Also, Ty Summers making a nice dash towards the team. Darius Shepherd as well. Also, people are really falling for Kadar Holman. I'm telling you, man, this dude is going to have a chance possibly to make this team. 6th-round pick. out of Toledo. Cool story with Holman. He was actually just sending out tapes left and right, was not recruited by any Division I schools, was sending his tapes here, there. He was delivering donuts for Krispy Kreme, which actually I didn't even know delivered, which is a major game changer. And finally got a call from Toledo as a walk-on, his only offer to play Division I football.
Great story.
Earned himself a scholarship and earned himself a draft pick slot in the NFL. Before I get to some audio where Matt LaFleur is straight up calling out Packer fans, let's grab Trav and Brown Deer here at 414-799-1250. You can join the conversation too, 414-799-1250. Trav, what's going on, man? What'd you see last night from the Packers?
You know, what I'm thinking about is I don't know where Aaron Brooks is. Maybe he could
at a retirement
be, you know,
facility.
Right, but no, you know.
Go ahead, Trav. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, I'm out.
You want Aaron Brooks?
I trust him. He knows the system. Well, not this system, but he had success. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Trav, what made you think Aaron Brooks? I mean, how'd you come up with?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thought you would have said Matt Flynn.
No. Matt Flynn just got paid, you know, and I understand the money.
For the
but,
dumb book,
I got it.
Hovering. He's taller.
Yep.
He got a bigger arm. And, yeah.
Trav, when do you think the last time Aaron Brooks played in the NFL was?
Probably 2 years ago.
Well,
am I wrong?
A little bit. 2006 was Aaron Brooks' last year in the NFL. He completed 110 passes in 8 games.
Yeah.
Well, you got...
I still take him as my second.
Okay.
So Aaron Brooks?
I mean, we're just talking like, you know, I mean, you said Matt Flynn. It's like Matt Flynn is like Vinny Testaverde, you know. I mean, it just, yeah. When I thought about it, Aaron Brooks, yeah.
Okay.
But he ain't played since 2006, Trav.
He's only 43.
He's 43.
Well, Testaverde or Dilfer, you know, I mean, just.
Yeah,
be ready.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, so you just got to get a little something out of the quarterback.
Okay.
And they weren't mobile. So.
They do want a mobile guy. Yeah. Trav, you having a good weekend so far already? It's starting up.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, bye.
All right, thanks, Trav.
Thanks, Trav. Appreciate it, buddy. 123 touchdowns, 92 picks in his career.
Hey, we
8-year career.
We're replaying that. We're replaying that whole interview.
And Trav joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
We're replaying that. Trav, do you know when last time Aaron Brooks played? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
I was like I said, 2006.
I almost didn't want to say it because I almost felt bad.
I was like I said, 2006. Are you kidding me? I don't do the math. How long ago was that, cuz?
It was 13 years ago.
This joke is 43. Trav, go, yep. I'll still take it. Stuck to it, too. That's one thing I like about Trav.
He was down with it. He said, nope, mm-hmm. I want it. Nope. I want him.
Better than Testaverde.
He's right, though. Vinny Testaverde played until he was like 60 or something. Yeah.
Can we take this over here?
Steve's in Greenfield. He's up on the Wendy's Big on, Show. Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, one thing that really bothered me last night was the run blocking.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Dexter Williams got all of those yards on his own. I mean, mm-hmm. the guards in the center, they blocked like girls. I mean,
well,
it was terrible.
I don't know like about girls, though, Steve. That's a little hard.
I mean, get some push in there. Knock those guys backwards. You know, that they were getting pushed into the backfield or falling down. And, my God, you know, stay on your feet at least.
Well, and some of that, too, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. Some of that is that there was only one starter out there. But you could tell, and, Gary, I know you can because you can – running backs have this weird innate feeling of understanding where the hole's about to be and where the cutback's going to be.
Yeah. They missed a couple cutbacks.
In the zone, there were a couple of cutbacks that they missed, but they did do a poor job blocking up front in that run.
Yeah,
but you could see that there was going to be opportunities once you get that half-yard push.
The running backs got pressed the hole just a little bit more, and they just didn't do that. And if they can press it, get up there, those cutback lanes would be much more pronounced. And see, that's how I cut my teeth. I was a huge cutback runner. Toss sweep was my thing, and I can pick and choose a hole wherever you want to go. And you just got to – come downhill, press it hard, see it, hit it, and go.
And the best part about the cutback, it opens up some cleanups for offensive linemen.
Yeah, it does.
Just cleanups.
Right, and that's all you got to do is follow it.
Yep, and just watch it through. All right, Gary, so I'm pretty sure Matt LaFleur is calling out Packer fans with this one here.
All right.
The other major story from last night was the foghorn that was going off after third downs or before third downs.
Right.
Matt LaFleur was asked about the origin of the foghorn.
It's something we've all been talking about. Just how do we get this to be a tremendous home field advantage and get the crowd off their feet and make it just a nightmare for opposing offenses? Because I know this, I was in Atlanta in 2016 and there were a bunch of Packer fans there and we were going on the silent count in our home stadium. And to me, that's the standard. So when we show up other places and overtake those stadiums, I think it's intimidating for the opponent. And how can we make that same environment when teams come in here?
So apparently Packer fans are much more energetic on the road and are crazy on the road. Matt LaFleur wanting to bring some of that to Lambeau.
See, I don't know. Maybe this is a whole other topic. I didn't ever think that that was a issue, noise. At Lambeau Field.
Now, I really didn't think it was
War of the Worlds. Pull the Mandela, can you pull War of the Worlds? See if that I think that's what it was. Because it was
Now I thought it was more from like the Purge.
No, but there was these like machines. They were on our planet, on Earth, and they were all in the ground. And these aliens came back, they got it, and they were just coming up out of the earth. And they were attacking everybody. But these little bitty aliens though. But they were in these big, tall, like cranes, like thing, and they had buried them all across the United States underground.
That sounds like the most.
And they knew where they were. There it is. That's it.
That sounds like just like ominous music, though.
Dude, do it again, Mando.
Hit me with that again. Nope. I know where I've heard that before.
That's War of the Worlds.
I know
is that
where I've
Water
heard
Worlds,
that
Mandela.
That's War of the Worlds.
No, no, I know where I've heard that before.
Where?
There's this episode of, I believe it's Family Guy, where they try to find the, or no, it's The League, where they find this brown note.
Right.
It's this frequency that immediately makes people's underwear turn brown. Let me hear that again. Oh, yep, there it is. See, it triggers it. Immediately, actively allows you to dilute something right like that. That's crazy. But do you understand? Think that Lambeau needs more mystique?
I never thought we needed that. I mean, that...
But, like, for Matt LaFleur to say, we've been talking about it.
Right. That I don't get. I think the crowd is noise is... Maybe it's... I don't know. I that's overthinking to me.
Because now, like, some people will always say, well, it was a Milwaukee game, and the crowd is lower because it was a Milwaukee crowd, or this is a Green Bay crowd.
And he said they've been talking about it, so obviously they thought about that the crowd noise is not as loud as they would like for it to be. Listen, I don't get that.
Yeah, I've never thought crowd noise would be an issue at Lambeau.
Right.
It's never been in the years that I've gone there, but... Who knows? Maybe maybe Ryan Wood knows that it's an issue. And maybe the Packers do need to look into it. Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, our green and gold insider here on The Fan, joins us next. What did he take away from the backup quarterback position? Also, who did he see surprised last night? Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM and the radio.com app. Gary Ellerson, Baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan, 1250 AM and the radio.com app is how you listen to us. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, at Gary Ellerson, at Bill Schmidt Radio, how you get at us personally, GE and Baby Tausch here till 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, covers the Packers for Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, also here on the Wendy's Big Show. He's our green and gold insider. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48, we talk to Ryan Wood. He joins us now after Packers and Texans week one of the NFL preseason. Ryan, 26 starters sit out. Was that a little bit surprising to you last night?
Nah, I mean, the way preseason is now, you hear everywhere that they don't need four preseason games. Preseason is games 2 and 3. That's your regular season unit. That's where you're going to get a lot of exposure to them. Aaron Rodgers will be playing in both. The opener, And then obviously the finale where guys are really fighting to get one of those last roster spots. That's what it's become. So was 26 a lot? Yeah, absolutely. 26 was a lot. Were there some surprise names? I mean, I didn't even know that Josh Jones had an injury. He'd been practicing, so did not expect Josh Jones to not be available last night. But by and large, that's just the nature of what a preseason opener is now.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on Rashad Gary? How did he look to you?
I thought it was a mixed bag. Yeah. You know, he had some rookie moments. There was one play specifically where he got sucked inside and completely gave up outside contain on a run play. Almost like he was a little frustrated that he wanted to get in the mix. Well, I didn't think the Texans, ran a lot of plays at him in general. Mm-hmm. But he got some double teams too. I mean, there was one third down where a tight end stayed in just a chip, and then he got the tackle. So the Texans were aware of him. I don't think there's any question about that. Did it show up in the box sheet? No, it did not. But his presence was felt in some ways. I mean, there's certainly some room to grow there. But for one debut, it was really kind of just a mixed bag.
I'm freely admitting this. I'm jumping all over the place here, and I'm going to go back on offense again. What do you think about the receiving core that they have there? I mean, you've seen these guys at practice every day. I mean, they would have got about six or seven guys. How do you feel about this core that they have?
I think it's pretty. It's got the potential to be pretty good, but it's definitely unproven. I mean,
correct.
After the obvious, Davante Adams, number two is probably Geronimo Allison. He should be a good, serviceable number two, and I think he would have been last year. I mean, he was on pace for almost 1,000 yards through five games last year, mm-hmm. but then with the groin injury, he ended up on IR. I think he would have had a big breakout year. Now he's got to prove it. He hasn't proven it yet. But he has that potential. After Geronimo Allison, I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, both had some solid rookie seasons. Now, there's a lot of room for growth there, but it was a decent foundation to start on. Jake Kumerow continues to impress. I mean, he's a guy that Aaron Rodgers loves throwing the ball to him. You saw last night, I mean, he's such a crisp route runner. He's a natural catcher, something that, frankly, a Jamon Moore is continuing to struggle with on the other end of the spectrum, just naturally catching the football. And then even, Trevor Davis was having his best camp as a Packer until the injury in live special teams drills, which Matt LaFleur said last night, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is right. We probably shouldn't be doing those, which is kind of obvious, and I don't think you'll ever see that again. So as a whole, there's depth there. There's potential to have a really good unit. But it's unproven potential at this point.
No doubt.
Ryan, out of the backup quarterbacks yesterday, obviously DeShone Kizer gets the start. He looks good, 8 of 13. But Tim Boyle, the offense, and aided by the pass interference, the offense just moves differently when Tim Boyle is behind center, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, they obviously, I think it took like seven plays to score from the 3-yard line.
Right.
To start the second half. But some of those were, Tim Boyle missed a fade in the end zone and then kind of overshot a receiver. But in general, I think for one preseason game, it's pretty much a wash. I thought both of those guys were better than what we had seen in practice, especially Kizer. But even Tim Boyle had been pretty erratic throwing the football. And I mean, I guess you kind of saw that a little bit last night. Tim Boyle had the best throws of the night, but he missed some throws too. So for one game, I think it's pretty even. It could have been a lot worse from that position. I mean, that was definitely something to build on. So that had to be promising. Whether they do that or not will be what's most important.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and right here on the Wendy's Big Show, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48. What about the running backs? Obviously, you don't see the two starters in Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, but Dexter Williams obviously showed out yesterday with 14 carries.
I think so. Dexter Williams is a rookie. He's young. He's making that transition for the league, and like any other position, there's things at running back that as a rookie running back, you've got to be able to adjust to at this level. And DeShone Kizer actually said something really interesting last night that, you know, and it was interesting because it kind of echoed what Matt LaFleur said earlier in camp. Sean Kizer, former teammate of Dexter Williams at Notre Dame, he said, at Notre Dame, at the college level, Dexter Williams could dance in the backfield. He could be patient in the backfield. And with this wide zone running scheme, it's predicated from a running back perspective on getting to your landmarks as quick as possible. You can't dance in the backfield anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think from a talent standpoint, I mean, Dexter Williams is his one cut and slashing style. Once he gets to the hole, I think there's burst through the hole. I think you saw that last night. If he can just kind of nullify that one piece of his game that persists from college and get to the landmarks quicker, his burst of the hole is going to be something that I think is an ideal fit in this offense. So it's just a matter like any other.
Guy has great closing speed. I don't know if they thought he'd be this good this early, but, I mean, he's just a football player.
Yeah, Gary, we saw each other in the press box last night and both kind of got some big eyes right. After, I think, that first series. Like,
right.
Whoa, I don't think we expected that. And, mm-hmm. What was interesting is after the game, Ty Summers said, you know, 10 tackles is great, but he's thinking about the four that he didn't have. Good. After the crowd kind of dispersed, I asked him, I was like, what plays are going inside your head? And he literally listed off the four missed tackles, detail by detail, play by play, that he didn't get. And he was right. I mean, there were some missed opportunities out there, but 10 tackles for a guy who is still relatively new to the mic position. He ran a 4.51 at the combine, so he can move. There's no question that he's got speed. I was impressed by the play speed. For a rookie to be able to play as fast as he did was surprising. So, it was a really good way to get yourself on the radar as a seventh-round pick. And if that continues, he'll be on the 53.
Well, and obviously availability is accountability, and Oren Burks, once again, struggles with a little bit of that. Obviously, he wasn't going to play as much as Ty Summers, but Summers got a lot of run because of it.
Yeah. That was in large part determined before the game, even without the shoulder injury. Ty Summers said that the coaches told him to be ready to be gassed by the end. I mean, they were going to play a ton, and they did.
I like that.
And, you know, for a seventh-round pick, that's like candy to your ear. I mean, that's
yes.
Just, oh, okay, I'll play the whole game, but give me all the film I can get. So,
right.
It was good on both sides. Oren Burks, I mean, that might be the most relevant thing that happened last night if you look at, you know, regular season impact. I mean, other than maybe the backup quarterbacks, if there's an injury at some point to Aaron Rodgers. Oren Burks, I mean, he missed some time with that shoulder, that left shoulder, last year. I think it limited what he was able to do in his rookie season. And this is the pivotal training camp for a young NFL player. You've got to be able to get as much out of that second training camp as you can. So, he had a really good start to camp, and he positioned himself to be a part of this defense. I think the Packers were pretty pleased with what they'd seen. He was a young guy that really needed that the game setting to do it in a game and do it at game speed. So you understand why he was one of the very few starters to play. It's just, you know, now that shoulder injury is a problem again, and we'll see how long it takes him to get back on the field.
Did you really know that Lane Taylor was in a battle for a starting position before last night?
I did not. And I mean, you know, Elton Jenkins was a second-round pick, and as a guard, second-rounder, you don't draft a guard in the second round to sit him very long. I mean, that's the nature. If you want a guy that you can develop and be on the sideline for a while, you wait till the fourth or fifth round. So I guess I get that point of it. It's just, I think Elton Jenkins, he's got everything it takes to be a good NFL player, but he's really early in this transition. And, I mean, I think he's been swimming a little bit early in camp, not to be unexpected, because especially for a big guy in the trenches, that tends to happen. Lane Taylor, he struggled last year. The year before, 2017, Lane Taylor was quite good. You know, last year, he missed basically the entire offseason with an ankle injury that persisted half the year. Remember talking to him this spring. Yeah, he didn't feel right until the second half of last year. I mean, it looked that way. His range of motion wasn't the same. He wasn't the same player in 2018 that he was in 2017, and yet I don't see right now a guard that's going to beat Lane Taylor for a starting job week one on this roster. I mean, I was surprised to hear that there was a competition, and I mean, give Matt LaFleur credit. You know, he's not taking anything lightly.
I know Kadar Holman has shown up in practice a couple of times, a sixth round pick. But obviously, the interception yesterday opens a lot of eyes. Just how significant of a player could he be on the team this year?
That's a good question. I mean, he's definitely going to be behind, you know, he's going to be at the bottom of the depth chart. Now, he's going to be on the depth chart and make the 53, but he's going to be at the bottom of that. But what we've seen is a ton of injuries, especially at the cornerback position in the past couple of years. So there's a good chance he's going to be playing at some point. And it looked like an easy play. I mean, it was a terrible pass by Joe Webb. But that type of play, the ability to track a ball deep down the field, is precisely the biggest perceived weakness in Kadar Holman's game coming into the NFL. The ball skills, the ability to undercut a receiver, track a ball, and come away with the football, to show that, was good for him to put on film. I mean, that was certainly a good play for him, as easy as it might have looked given the poor throw. The Packers seem to like him. I mean, he's gotten a lot of second team reps, which puts you on the 53, and you know, he did well for himself last night.
What have you seen out of Jay Sternberger so far before, you know, all the concussion? I mean, has he been popping it all, shining it all in practice?
He had one really good play. It was literally like four or five reps before the Lonnie Johnson Jr. Issue. And that to me was the biggest probably frustration that they would have had with that. Not just that it was dirty, but that, I mean, Jay Sternberger had just started to maybe flash a little bit, and then he gets taken out of camp by a completely idiotic play. So, he tight end is especially, I mean, it's hard to find rookie tight ends to come in right away and have impacts. There's so much on that position's plate from a run game and pass game standpoint. I think that's a reason why we've seen Robert Tonyan make such the leap that he's had in his second year now compared to his first year. Because the first year, you're trying to stay above water as a tight end in this league. So I think that's where Jay Sternberger is. He's hasn't shown that he's going to be a guy to buck that trend and to be an early contributor on offense as a tight end. But long term, you can see the potential, and certainly they're going to give him every opportunity.
What was your reaction to Matt LaFleur talking with Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline? Sorry, Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, what was your reaction to Matt LaFleur's answer to the question about Aaron Rodgers' somewhat displeasure with the joint practices?
You know, I thought he pushed back a little bit. And that's not nothing, because, I mean, let's face it, like, Mike McCarthy never pushed back, at least not like that.
Right.
No. Uh-uh. He had plenty of opportunities, and Mike McCarthy would just never, ever assert that from the podium. So, and here's the other thing, too. In doing so, Matt LaFleur also was accurate. He's not wrong. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need the preseason. Let's just be honest here. If it's just Aaron Rodgers getting ready for the regular season, he's one of the very few, maybe you put Bulaga and Bakhtiari there too, that can do that all by themselves. You know, the problem is there's 10 other guys on the field, as Matt LaFleur said. And those guys, I mean,
that makes
sense
to me.
You can put that in that elite group too. But most of those guys, they do need the preseason. They need to get ready. They don't need four games in the preseason, which is why you saw 26 guys sit last night.
Mm-hmm.
But they need the second and third week. They need some camp. They need to get, you know, back into football shape. And those joint practices, those are designed for those guys. They're not designed for Aaron Rodgers. I did think, like I said earlier, Matt LaFleur saying that the live special teams drills were probably not the best idea. He did agree with Aaron Rodgers there. So I thought he was pretty fair in his assessment, which, by the way, Matt LaFleur has been pretty fair. He's been awfully talkative and honest in his assessments with the media since since getting hired. I mean, that's jumped out at me. But, yeah, I think that he was the same way with that answer.
Matt, I know you're worried on, like, camp battles and right and left foot, good footwork, catching the ball. But the biggest story right now in the NFL is the Antonio Brown situation that's going on in Oakland about his helmet, saying that he's not going to play unless they allow him to use the helmet that he's worn for the last 9 years. It's the same model that Aaron Rodgers uses, so I'm just asking if you've noticed, is he wearing a different helmet in practice?
I haven't noticed, no. I mean, that's probably worth asking him, but I don't think he has been asked yet. No, I have not noticed.
Because Antonio Brown says he's going to retire if they don't allow him to use the helmet that he's worn his last 9 years.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers feels that strongly about his helmet or not. I mean, these guys, there's so many different kinds of helmets. It's unreal.
Right.
And there's a comfortability that exists now with helmets, with all the knowledge out there about concussions. You know, guys like their helmets. Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would, you know, be willing to retire if he couldn't wear his helmet, but
we're just asking,
man. Each their own.
Yeah, right. Well, Antonio Brown too, talk about to each his own. That's a totally different each. That's for sure. Ryan, we'll talk next on Monday, all right?
Thank you, buddy.
All right, have a good weekend.
That's Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Looking no further, call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Travis Shaw out. Option down to AAA San Antonio. Hernan Perez is back with the Milwaukee Brewers. Birch Smith designated for assignment. We'll see if he accepts that down to San Antonio. He's already playing down there, so you just lose a little bit of money. But Hernan Perez back, and the Brewers have a backup shortstop. Crazy. That's a good idea for the Milwaukee Brewers to have a backup shortstop on their roster. Hernan Perez starts tonight, hitting eighth for the Crew. No Christian Yelich once again. Third consecutive game that Yelich will miss with that back tightness. We'll hear all of the latest from Craig Counsell coming up at 6 on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Tim Allen and myself get you ready after the game for game 2 and the rest of the pennant race. Talk Brewers with us after the game. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show right here on The Fan. Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane is next. Gary Ellerson, Baby Tosh, Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.